Tu Cabeza es la Belleza es un espacio que busqué por mucho,
mucho tiempo
para hablar las ideas que recorren mi ser. Es un tributo a los pensamientos,
al amor,
a la vida,
a los miedos,
a las opiniones y cuestionamientos de diferentes temas. Soy Tessita Fitch y te doy la bienvenida a este espacio, donde podemos debatir las ideas junto con otras personas que sueñan y viven como tú y como yo. Así que estoy segura que te sentirás identificado. Quédate conmigo y descubre por qué tu cabeza es la belleza. Visítame en tucabezaeslabelleza.com.
Oh my goodness.
You two are. Wow, you've been joining us. I'm so glad. Hi, Tessie.
Hi, Katie. Oh my God, my heart is beating so hard.
We look pretty good when we compare ourselves to sitting in self-inquiry for 5 days together.
5 days, yeah.
5 days.
I know. Oh, we look different. How are you, Katie? Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for the invitation. Gosh, I love that together we bring some kind of goodness to the world.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We wanted to take this time just to go a little bit deeper into the work and, you know, pick your brain, your beautiful mind, just to give us a little bit more understanding. And you know, Tessie wanted to start with this question about how we try to control the mind, right, Tessie?
Yeah, but before going there, I just want to share with you, Katie, that I'm so happy and honored as for hosting you today. Thanks for being here, for being our lovely teacher, and for all the things that we learn from you. I can only speak for myself. You truly changed my life, and that's the main goal for this interview, so we can spread your work so you can be able to change others' life as you are doing with us.
Thank you for giving me the credit for what I love about self-inquiry is the answers we find within ourselves. That's what it's all about. But I can be a pointer and a guide to self-inquiry, and as you two are, and I'm very grateful for that.
No, thank you so much. And also thanks for being here, because this is a reminder that dreams do come true. At least my podcast this year, it's going to turn 5 years. And I can tell you that this is one of the best days of my life, because I'm so happy and grateful to share all that we have learned from you. So thank you, honey.
You know, piggybacking on that, you know, if someone had told me some years ago when I was started to listen to your recordings from like old schools and, you know, interviews, that I would be talking to you directly today, you know, I wouldn't imagine this in a million years. But you know something, Katie, when your work started to come my way, I was in such a dark place. I was in a very sad state of mind and hopeless. And there was something in those recordings, in those conversations that you had with people, that I couldn't understand logically. But there was something in my heart that said it was a remembering, and I found hope. And there was an alchemy that happened in those videos. You know, I was so desperate to find what was wrong with me. Of course, we know nothing, you know, but just a little bit of confusion going on here and there. But, you know, what I heard in those recordings was people that thought the most traumatic, most impossible things, that they felt they were going to be haunted for life, burst into laughter. And I was hooked on it. I said, there's something in here, in this work. And, you know, all I have to say is I'm no longer hopeless. I'm actually pretty happy. I'm very joyful. I'm connected. I'm of service. And it's all thanks to this beautiful work that you bring to the world. So I'm extremely grateful for that.
Yes, we both are.
To support someone as loving and powerful as you two are, that's, you know, the whole world benefits. It's I just find it extraordinary that we've been given this gift.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Self-inquiry.
We are so grateful for having this gift. So thanks again. So going back to what Omer was saying before, I would like to start asking you. I love this book from you, A Mind at Home with Itself. And you open this book talking about why people think that mind need to be controlled. And I think maybe that's where everything starts. Can we talk about more about that?
And specifically?
Like, why we as human beings, we think that mind can be controlled, and what all the things, what are all those things that come after the thought that the mind can be controlled?
Yeah. And how painful it is to try to control the mind, right? As if we had power over our thoughts.
Yeah. So the ego is, it is a state of mind. Ego is a term for state of mind. And mind is, this is a push for some people sitting here with us today, but mind is nothing. Nothing we can prove. And if you cut our brains open and try to find mind, you can't. You'll find like physical blood and muscle and tissue, and it's all working, it seems. But mind is a trance. Mm-hmm. And it begins, in my experience, and all your listeners, you know, will see if we can give them just the same opportunity to understand that. For example, we did this in your school, you know, you look back at your first memory.
Yeah.
And that takes presence and stillness to sit and get really still and go back and back and back to your very first memory. Now, that doesn't mean it is the first memory, but the oldest one you can remember when you get really still and your mind is open to it, that's the one. Now, mine, you know, I'm standing at what we call the back door, you know, going into the backyard, and my sister is opening the door, and I wanted to go with her. So my first thing is about joining, but I want to go with her, and she wouldn't take me. And my first memory is I can see her with her hand on the door, and I can see the glass. Part of the door was glass, so I can see the light coming through it. And I wanted to go out. Well, that's my first memory. And then my second memory is about the second oldest I can remember, is I'm sitting on a couch in the living room, and it's kind of dark. There's a little light in there, but it's kind of dark. I'm alone, and I'm just tiny, really. I'm just like a past the toddler stage, and I'm sitting there, and I'm alone, and I'm good with it. I'm just, you know, just remembering that in my mind's eye. Okay, so how old was I approximately when I wanted to go outside with my sister? I wanted to go with her in that memory. Okay, how old was I? I think about four years old. And in my second memory, it sounds strange, but I think it was more like three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as close as I can get as I look at me in my mind's eye from here. And so what happened? What was I doing prior to my first memory? I was walking, I was talking. That's what my parents say. That's what my sister said. I was walking, I was talking, I was eating, I was all of that. But was I? Was I? My first memory of life, of I was standing there wanting to go out with my sister. And my second memory was about, I don't know, maybe 6 months later or a year later, I'm not sure. But who was I between standing in the kitchen at the back door and sitting on the couch? You know, did I exist at all? Prior to, I want to go outside with my sister. And who was I? Who was I? Now, my family shows me pictures of my baby pictures and all of that and says, yeah, that's you. This is you when you were little. Okay, I believed. I believed for 43 years until this thing, this self-inquiry became alive in me. And so are we born of mind, identity, or are we born of body? Because this body was walking, talking, wanting, it seemed, but that's my parents' story. My first memory of life was the moment I believed I want to go outside with my sister.
Yeah, personality seems to have been born when you started to want something. And this takes me to that beautiful quote that says, personalities don't love, they want something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. And that brought me in, the wanting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so are we born? The question for your viewers and listeners is, are we born when our parents tell us we are? Or are we born into this world the moment we believe? And that's the ultimate attachment. You know, we attach to things and people and things, and it's just to, you know, reinforce, I am, I want, I need, you should, you shouldn't. You know, we turn into dictators fairly, yeah. You know, it's, and you should, and you shouldn't. And so, you know, it's who would I be without my story? And when I look back, the proof is, to my mind, all was well. All was well. I wanted to go outside with my sister. And so I was born of want. But what this happened makes sense. Between my first memory and the second memory? What, there's like an age difference there. In my case, you know, several months. But as you know, in the school, some people, when we ask them this, to close their eyes and do this exercise, like between the first, how old are you? Like some of them have like 6 and 7 fingers up. And how, and then some people on how, what time lapse can you identify between your first memory and your second memory? Well, there's an age difference. So what was living you in between as you were eating, drinking, laughing, crying? It's so life is as we believe it to be. It can never be more or less. So what we do when we sit in self-inquiry is we wake up to reality. We wake up to that safety, that immovable, that love, that grace of being able to actually visualize life. And as you know, I consider, you know, this earth, like earth school, it's actually perfect. This world is perfect. It is living and loving and giving and flawless, other than what we're thinking and believing about it. And so I hope this is helpful to your
Oh, it's very helpful. And, you know, in that exercise, Katie, I remember my first memory and the second one were years apart. And for a long time, I thought, you know, the reason why I didn't remember the in-between, it was because it was traumatic and my memory was suppressing it. And after going into that inquiry in school, I realized, actually, no, I was so in my nature, in my connectedness, in my lovingness, that I didn't find any egoic reason to remember that time, right? Like, there's not an attachment. And that story went from like suppressed trauma, you know, scary narrative, into, oh my goodness, a new childhood, a new, more loving, truer childhood.
Yeah. And in my world, when around like a traumatic experience, what was I thinking and believing in that situation? And that releases the trauma. And it's not as simple as I'm making it sound. This is self-inquiry. It takes focus. It's an exercise in stillness and getting present and sitting in self-inquiry. And it's not something that anyone can give us.
And you have to be very brave to do that, with a very open mind as well.
Oh my, yes.
But what you just said, it takes me to one of the things you used to say all the time, that reality is kinder than we believe. And
reality is always kinder than what we're believing about it.
And when we question it, we get more kinder. So the kinder we are, the kinder we will see the world.
Yeah, we become more aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, and less frightened. And that is, that's a kinder world. And the good news is that we don't have to change the world. We can question what we're thinking and believing about the world. And there we find peace and understanding and joy and a freedom that can't be told. It's our birthright.
You also became more awareness. You get more awareness about the situations, about what's really going on. And that's why I love about what you said, who I'm going to be without my story.
Yeah.
I heard you say, Katie. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it was just repetition. It's like just agreeing with Tessie. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I've heard you say the last story, people that don't need inquiry because they know that God is good and God is everything. Can you talk a little bit about what do you mean by God is good, God is everything?
Well, someone told me that God, G-O-D, it was hard to swallow for them. So they translated it as good old dude. G-O-D. And for some people, they have to start there. They're just so, I guess, fearful of looking at what is beautiful, you know, is my translation of God. And on your question again.
Yeah, you said, you know, people that know that God is good, God is everything, don't need inquiry because you know, I guess that's really the last story, as you had said, right?
Yeah, they're awake to the world. They're awake to there's no downside, that everything is beautiful other than what we're thinking and believing. The world is here for us. It's not happening to us as the ego would argue.
Yeah, but what about evil, for example? You know, like, it's hard to, I think, for example, when someone would be presented with God is good, God is everything. So what about evil? Is evil also confusion? Is evil even a thing? Is it another concept?
Well, I think it's an individual for each of us, you know, the answer to what is evil. But for me, anything that would bring about, anything I'd be thinking or believing that would bring about a kind of separation that I would experience between me and another human being, you know, what is that? Well, it's got to be what I'm thinking and believing. That would separate me from that human being. It doesn't mean they're not saying what they're saying or doing what they're doing that I'm at war with. But what am I thinking and believing about that human being? It can put me like right there. How could I, what is in me that would see it as anything less than beautiful? And that's what I love about a questioned mind. If someone let's say a sociopath, you know, they're evil, there's no feeling, there's just a kind of selfishness running, and what I'm thinking and believing about that, how evil is it, or am I meeting with understanding? And that doesn't mean that I'm going to change what I can about that, about self-inquiry allows me to understand even a sociopath, which I don't, if I'm not one, how can I understand one? Self-inquiry, because we all have said and done things in our life. You know, I just heard a question mark in my mind. We've all said or done something in our life that we're ashamed of, or that was hurtful and we're ashamed of it. Whatever it is, are not living up to someone else's expectations, and so we've fallen short. But you know, I just work on myself, and then you know, the question is just kind of, your question is just kind of lost me. I really got wrapped up in a sociopath that is was in my head, you know, that dream that so much of us carry. Now, I'm responsible for what I'm thinking about that image, because that image is not a human being. It's an illusion. It's a facade my ego is offering up that is causing confusion, not the sociopath themselves or their action. But any fear I experience is, I look to myself.
Yeah.
Because that fear is within me. It's not for the world or a sociopath to change, for me to find peace. Thank God for that, that there is a way. And we don't come out like everything is beautiful, even though it's true. We're left with, it seems, and you two can validate this, it being true for you too, is we're more powerful, not less powerful, in the absence of fear.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
And what I heard from that, Katie, was, you know, this is in my worldview, then there exists this psychopath. But at least if that is in my worldview, then if I can see that with understanding through inquiry, then, you know, there's less sociopaths in my world, because yes. At least I understand them, and maybe I can even start changing that concept, you know, yes. Like when I start understanding them, like, can I even still call them that? Right. And it just, yes. You know, at least a kinder world, at least in my world. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's if I look at a sociopath, you know, I am the one labeling it. I'm the one experiencing it. And so that's within me. That's it within me. That's what I'm thinking and believing. That's what is what's within me. And so that is user friendly. It gives us all the power. We can identify those thoughts and question them and see the outcome and experience reality, as opposed to the cause of fear, which is pure ego.
Totally. And that makes us responsible of doing the work, questioning the mind. Because if I'm believing my thoughts, I'm suffering, and suffering doesn't help anyone.
No, it adds to the chaos already going on. So it doesn't take one person to change the world. It doesn't take everyone to change the world. It just takes one person, and anyone that is sitting in this with us, you know, it applies. You know, if I want to change the world, I need to question what I'm thinking and believing about the world, or suffer in this world. And this world is a gift. We're not here to suffer. It's like Earth School. We're here to wake up to reality. And reality meaning the true nature of everything is love.
Totally. And talking about Earth School, that's one of the things we wanted to ask you, because we love the term Earth School, and for me, at least, I use it all the time with my friends and my people. I'm like, okay, this is happening. I'm going to fight with it, or I'm going to remember that I'm on Earth School, and I'm going to question it, and I'm going to love reality.
So there it is. That's how we know we need to show up for class. Stress lets us know.
And for school with you as well.
Well, I love that.
It's like, why I'm thinking and believing, okay, it's time to go back to school with Katie.
Yeah.
But going back to Earth School, what actually I would like to ask you is, what do you think about Earth School?
It's an opportunity to meet love beyond what the ego would understand. Yeah, so I don't do war with the ego. It's like a terrified child. It's trying to exist as a physical body, and ego is a state of mind. And and to identify it and question it it's like making love with the baby, holding the baby, rocking the baby. It's not trying to shut the ego up or shame it or blame it or drink it down or compulsively overeat it down or drugs or you know, any of that. It is
So it doesn't go away, right, Katie? It becomes, so it's kind of like the ego stays there, but it's just not making war. Is that how this works as you do the inquiry? What happens to the ego? Do you transcend that, or?
It finds a home in what it trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is whatever comes from the heart. That's what it's terrified of. It wants to be object. It wants to be a human. It wants to own, like, I know, you should, you shouldn't, they shouldn't, I should, I need, I want. You know, from that child to mature intelligent mind open to self-inquiry.
Also because in my experience, people think that art school, it's like a suffering state of mind. You know, we are on art school, so you should suffer because it's art school. And one of the most important things that I have learned from you, it's how to live in heaven. And heaven, it's also art school. So how can we live in heaven in this world? And one of the main exercises that helps me a lot, it's the morning walk, for example. Uh-huh. It's a reminder for me every day, every morning, that the world and earth, it is earth school, but it's also beautiful to be in there, like to be in here.
Yeah. It's like we're doing, like we're walking out and like I did my walk today and this morning, and it was after a rain, and there's snow on the mountains, and it's just so beautiful. And then I look at my old life before self-inquiry found me, and I could be walking and not even know I'm walking. I'm in the past, I'm in the future, I'm in the past, I'm in the future. And now my heart's breaking, and now no one cares about me. And now people just, there's something wrong with the world. Dun, 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 dun. And that's what I used to carry as I walked. And it's the extreme opposite that I'm filled with as I walk today. And if anything comes up that even is the slightest bit stressful or arrogant, now that belongs on paper when I get back from my walk. And then when there's time, I sit in what I've written down, you know, what I was thinking and believing. But it there doesn't seem to be, like my walk this morning was just, it was heaven. There was no egoic world to argue with what I see. And what I saw were clouds and snow and the pavement that would hold me and the air that I'm breathing and the trees and the sky and the sound of traffic and it's a beautiful world with the ego fighting for its life would do whatever is necessary to move our attention to from free to the life of a believer.
Yeah. And talking about freedom, you just mentioned like past, future, all these images. And I would love to ask you if we can share a little bit more about images and how they work on our brains and actually how they become the most important thing. The most important thing of suffering in human beings are images.
Yeah, it's pure ego. And there's nothing real about it. And I invite your audience now and to I'll say a word, and I'm asking all of you not to picture it, not to put a picture on it. I'll say one word and don't visualize it. Don't see it, okay? No picture, okay. Banana. Did you see a banana? Of course you did.
I love this exercise.
It's like the word has no meaning without an image. And that's how ego has brought us into the world. And there's nothing real about it. There's nothing that is not either imagined or anticipated. It's So to question what we're thinking and believing, we get to keep the images that match the enlightened mind we find as we are filling in those worksheets and, in other words, moving our mind to paper and sitting in self-inquiry. We wake up to reality. And like I can see my morning walk in my mind's eye as I described it to you, but that's my evidence that I walked this morning. That's it. That's all I've got. Well, my neighbor says, well, I saw you walking. Well, that's what they believe. The point is what I'm remembering true or false? And now my neighbor's on that list. Mm-hmm. Where's my proof? The image in my head, like the banana and the words. And that's the trance. So, and it can't be real. I walked this morning. It can't be real because there's no way of proving it. So my identity is as I imagine my world to be. And I'm responsible for it. Once I learn self-inquiry, to identify what I'm thinking and believing that is the cause of my suffering and question it, until I do that, you know, I'm responsible for that because no one else can give me that. It's waking up to reality. And that's what that's what self-inquiry gives us. It's like we get to question our world away and be in the world at the same time. In other words, we come out wiser, awake, enlightened, less tired, less agitation and anger. It's like we get to literally not only be in this gifted world of ours, but to see it for what it is, appreciate it, honor it, and be with people who are believing their thoughts as opposed to reality in their face. The way I described that little girl at the door wanting to go out with her sister, mm-hmm. You know, from here, that's a dream. At the time, that want that the ego was offering up, I mean, where did it come from? That want brought me to life. It brought me into this illusion to this dream. And so that's why I call it Earth School, waking up to our true nature by respecting what we're thinking and believing and seeing what's true for us as individual.
Thanks for that, Katie.
It's a world of innocence. You know, it's a world where we're given a tree and we chop it down and it's not right or wrong. We can justify it, but that's not a great example, you know, but do we replace that tree? And a lot of people are. We get a little wiser as we roll.
And it also make us being more free.
Absolutely. Our nature is to give. Our nature is to love. And love itself is the gift. So to have the privilege of living that out is a beautiful thing. Life is a dream, and to wake up to reality is what self-inquiry is all about. Yes, he did hurt my feelings yesterday. Yes, he did. Where's my proof? I see an image in my head. Mm-hmm. See him. I see the situation. I see him and I see him. And so the next time I see him, I'm holding that image in my head and punishing him for what I'm dreaming. Now there's something off with it. There's something. And that doesn't mean to ignore the dream. But if I'm experiencing any kind of war on a scale from like 0.5 to 10, you know, that's in me. And it's my responsibility to clear that up, not with positive thinking, but with self-inquiry mm-hmm. that is valid because I'm the one sitting in it and I don't want to lie or fool myself. I want what is real that no one else can give me. I need to know. And that's what we are all, that's a privilege we all have as we sit in self-inquiry. And I realize it's not for everyone. So it's not the only way in earth to wake up to reality. It's one way. And I love it because it is really the ultimate self-help. It doesn't need a teacher. And, yeah. And I'm not saying don't go to teachers. Oh my gosh, no, I would not. No, we have people with experience like the three of us and your listeners. Mm. And we're all equal in that.
Thank you. Katie, when one connects with those images even more honestly and more loving, you know, I love when you say we don't do much. We stand up, we sit, or we lay horizontal. Even yeah. in the most traumatic of images, let's say, you know, I once was working with someone that was going to a memory of an earthquake, and she found herself in the image just actually standing against the wall. And that when it froze that image as a, you know, photograph, oh. woman standing up, believing her thoughts. You know, as and you know, sometimes when I say, what's the worst that could happen? Well, I could be sitting or standing just believing my thoughts. And that really yeah. makes, oh my God, a fearless state of mind, isn't it?
Truly, a fearless life and a life well lived, because when we're not worried, when you know, we are, we've got, you know, the privilege of living in the world in creative, open-minded ways. Mm. And every time we sit in self-inquiry, we're making like discoveries that affect the entire world.
Katie, that's right. Talking about illusion and dreams, both were words you used a few minutes ago. On the last school, you mentioned a term that it was like, not kind of new, but it was the first time I heard about, like hearing about that from you. And it was virtual reality. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
Because I think it's very related to all these images that we have been yeah. talking about.
And it's exactly what it is. You know, this morning, I did another podcast, I think. I prove.
You're here. I just want to let you know that you're here.
It's in my head, but I have no proof. Now I can call people that attended, and which would be my staff, and I can say, we did that podcast, right? And they'd say, yes. Well, if I believe them, I'm just transferring, you know, I'm that, like believing them, that's going to make it real. No, I don't have any proof. I did my morning walk this morning. And where's my proof? I see it in my mind's eye. That's virtual reality. And I see me. I can even see me outside of me as I watch me walk up that hill. Mm-hmm. But that's virtual reality. So that's what the ego offers up. And I'm in a trance. I believe it. And I can tell you, oh, yes, I did my morning walk. Where's my proof? The images in my head, virtual reality. I am programmed. I am living out of that. So do I exist? This is really pushing it, but I have no proof. But the world says, I saw you yesterday and I want to see you tomorrow. And so I'm imagined. And my mother said, you know, like, I love you. So what was my identity? I am the one loved by her. But what does it mean to me? Not much, if that's my first memory. Not a great example again, but
no. Katie, so, and in this moment of now, those are images kind of like from the past, you know, memories, this morning, this podcast in the morning walk. But what about like right now? I mean, this image that I see right now, or let's say I go in front of the mirror and I'm seeing my reflection. Is that also virtual reality?
Yes, yes, it is. And what's going on that that some people aren't aware of is the image of prior to that when you believed, and prior to that when you believed, and prior to that. But, you know, I look in the mirror and see me for the very first time. And without a past, I'm always new.
Wow.
And then that moment is gone. It's gone before I even think it or speak it.
Wow. Wow.
And then looking in the mirror, the ego, just in case that's not enough, you know, it has to compare with the human race.
Yes, yes.
And if it's your own past as a human part of that, to be able to even see a you. Like a little baby doesn't know that's a you, or that it is a baby. It doesn't know anything until it becomes a believer, identifies, and so appears to become it. So I look in the mirror, and as when I look in the mirror, it's someone I've never seen before in my life. And I fix its hair, and I fix its this, and I fix it that here in Earth School. That's what we do. I brush its teeth. It's just do other. I don't want to brush my teeth. I brushed them last night. I haven't eaten anything today. But what about my breath? The ego has this whole thing going around, you know. So self-inquiry leaves me with, brush your teeth. You know, the thought comes, and I just follow the simple direction.
So, Katie, do you still get all these thoughts from the ego and you just don't attach to them? What I heard is you get like the breath, the brush to your teeth, the, you know, comparison, but you get the thoughts, you just don't believe them. Am I understanding correctly?
If they were real, I would give them, you know, they'd be valid for me, but they're not. It's pure imagination. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine me yesterday, for example, to believe I'm here today.
Yes.
Or just 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
It's proof in my imagination that I exist. Well, so now is the story of a past. Even this moment now is gone.
So almost everything is virtual reality except presence, right?
Except our true nature, which is love. And that is why when we are not living out of that, we feel guilt, we feel sadness, we feel hurt, we are justified as we get angry for what we imagine people to think, say, feel, or do, or have said, thought, and felt. Mm-hmm. For example, it's no one is guilty in my world unless I can prove it. And the whole world can say, yes, that happened, but for me, did it, even though I was there. You know, it's self-inquiry it takes us to a freedom. It takes a very open mind, mm-hmm. but it takes us to Gosh. Heaven is the word that keeps
Yeah.
coming.
Yeah.
And I love it. It set us free.
Yeah. And this is Earth School. And as we wake up to all the pain and suffering and the cause of all pain and suffering, we come to see that there's all the pain we've ever experienced and hardship is in the past. And what can I do from here? Because all those things in the past we said or did that was so painful are the proof we need today as we sit in self-inquiry that really I don't know much.
So, Katie, is there such a thing, if there's no past and future, is there such a thing as destiny or a path?
Yeah, you know, we've imagined ourselves in, and we can imagine ourselves out, and life is imagination. And do we love it yet? So if there's something that interferes with that idea, it's up for inquiry because the ego could be right. So, you know, where that's fair play. And so I take what the ego says, if it seems at all valid, and question it.
There's this beautiful question that I heard you ask to some people, and that really impacted my own journey, which was you were working with someone under a son who was going through an addiction. And then you asked this woman, if that was his only path to God, would you choose it? And that question changed me,
yeah,
you know, because it made me fall in love with my path. And I don't even longer consider myself addicted anymore or anything like that. But in that moment to say, oh, I would really choose this path. I honor my path. And that question is so powerful.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Boy, you are into something beautiful. Your beautiful mind.
Also, what
it's,
I,
you know, this work is so powerful. Oh, go ahead, Tessie.
Like everything begins to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Self-inquiry.
And what I was about to say is that inquiry is free and it set us free. And the other day I was thinking, maybe believing, but I was playing with these both words, gain and again. So as we keep doing the work, as we do it again, we gain more freedom.
Yes. Yes.
And I love that about
once,
doing the work.
We learn to, yeah. And, you know, I refer to the work as a little clumsy at first for people because it requires such honesty and such integrity to sit in oneself because we're questioning the ego. And it takes a kind of open-mindedness and that whatever comes to be open to and just to follow the path of these four questions and turnarounds. And it just takes us from the beginning of the suffering all the way home. All the way home. And it's like learning to ride a bicycle at first. It can be really clumsy. And that's why we love people in the world like you two that can help us make sense of why does life sometime, why is it so tough? Why is it so hard? And why is it so painful sometimes? Well, self-inquiry is the answer to why. It's the what and the why and the how and the freedom that comes out of that.
Totally. And the important thing here is to keep questioning the mind so we gain freedom again. And really, thanks for teaching us how to bring us back home, because that's what I have been doing and founding every time I do the work.
Yeah, it's like the law is when you think you cannot be any freer, you are. It's like self-inquiry is whatever's left, the ego's going to offer it up so we can see what is valid and what is not. And, you know, we started this with G-O-D, good old dude, God, the God of our understanding, each of us individually, and takes us home to that immovable grace. That
Katie,
argues with the world as though it's hell. We question what we're believing about this life and world, and we find another world. And there's nothing manipulated or tricky, or it's like real deal. It is one person sitting in themselves and finding their way through, as you described, Hesse.
Katie, if love is our true nature, then why are we so afraid? It seems to be to get to that, see ourselves as that love. I don't know if that made sense, but why are we so afraid of love if that is our true nature?
Well, it's the ego afraid of love, and that why are we? We're identified as a physical body, and mind is not physical. This is a state of mind. You know, it's like if you're looking at a cloud and it's a cloud, and then you start to see, well, it's shaped like kind of a bird, or it's shaped like kind of, you know, some kind of object. You know,
I got it. So it's not love who's afraid. We're not afraid of our love. It's just the ego, the confusion of the ego is the part that is afraid, but there's something deeper than it, that it's aware all the time, even though the ego is confused, is that cloud.
Yeah, it wants to live. And what is a state of mind cannot live, because a state of mind you can't touch, you can't feel.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
Katie, can we talk about businesses? You know, relationships, especially in relationships, I kind of like don't have it so clear. So if I'm in a relationship, it's not of my business. It's a happening, right? It's reality's business. Is that right? If I'm in or out of a relationship?
In Earth School, if I'm in relationship with someone, you know, am I? Really? Or am I just wondering about what they think of me, or what I'm going to say to impress them, or what they're going to think of me, or how I think I should respond, or some? So am I in relationship with any other human being, or is it just all about me, for example? But the way I'm thinking and believing about other people, that's on me. If I don't like them or care about them, you know, I want to do a worksheet, what I'm thinking and believing about those people or that person. And it doesn't mean I have to call them and invite them to come have coffee with me. You know, it doesn't mean I ever have to speak to them again or invite them over. It's just that it's just, I love they're in my world. And I appreciate, you know, they're all teachers to me, though, Homero, as you know, human being in the world that is not here to teach me.
But do we take the action? Do we consciously say, I'm leaving this person? Or is that more of a happening from reality?
I just notice I invite them or to coffee, or I don't, but there's no reason there. There are preferences. Maybe I prefer to go alone. Maybe I prefer to invite someone else, not them. But there's no, but if they happen to show up there, I'm so happy for it. And it doesn't mean I won't invite them as well. Maybe I think there's some unfinished business. Or maybe they just show up where I'm having coffee with someone else and they show me my unfinished business.
Yes.
Thinking and believing about them.
Katie, I have a question. And this is something Homero and I, we were talking about. And it's about how can you know the difference between a heart desire and a desire from ego? Like when you say, I need, I want, but what's the difference?
There's really no valid need or want. But how do I live in this world, in this earth school? And so it's about realizing the self. It's like I died, I went to heaven. Okay. So there was a problem with that, though. I died, and then everything I believed about life. Gosh, how do I start that over? Ask the question again, honey.
Yeah, thank you, Katie. So it's about how can we know when it's a heart desire from an ego desire?
I don't know the difference. It's all ego.
Okay.
So all wanting, all longing, all needing comes from the ego. And I heard you say think, feel, act, have just a moment ago. And is that action, does that come from the heart if there's no suffering then? Is that the difference or?
Well, right-minded, right thoughts. Disturbance, stress, a kind of meanness, for example, or separation. That's it. I look at what I'm thinking and believing that would cause that. And that wakes me up. And then I can invite that person to coffee or not. But there's no, I don't have reasons why not. It's just, you know, I just don't.
Yeah.
Or
you
I
just
do.
Honor it. Yeah.
That's why you marry Steve, right? Why not? But not because it was a hard desire from
No, you. I just had not one valid reason not to marry Stephen. Not one. I had so many, and after 20 something years, it's still the same. There's no reason not to love Stephen.
And I want to thank him actually for showing us how to love and how to be loved.
He's incredible. Yeah.
He's
living with someone like me is cannot be easy. And because when I know to do something and it's right in me, it doesn't mean he would always agree, and he might have reasons not that aren't valid enough to stop me from doing what I know to do. And so it's like chop wood, carry water when we look at the mind. But he's responsible for him, and I'm responsible for me and living my life. And that's how I can show up here. Oh, you know, I can't leave Stephen. Oh, I'm always leaving Stephen. Well, I'm always in the dun, 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 dun. You know, I know to do this, and am so happy to. It's my heart's desire. And whatever Stephen has, if it's that important, you know, I can make it up to him later. Or even if it's not that important to him, I can make it up later. And I do or I don't. And it could be he's even forgotten. So it's kind of like chop wood, carry water, just have a good life.
Thanks for teaching us how to have a good life.
Yeah, open mind, open mind.
Yeah. Katie, I heard once at school you said that setting boundaries, it's also an act of love.
Yes.
When
self-love, just for starters.
Yeah, so when what I have come to is that sometimes when you're doing the work, you don't know when is a good time to set a boundary, you know, because as everything is about us and our thoughts, but sometimes, like, how can you know when it's valid to set a boundary to others?
So what's an example of setting a boundary and situation that comes to your mind then?
Homero, do you have an example?
Yeah, like, for example, let's say someone talks to me in a way that I don't like, and I would say, oh, I don't want to be talking to, I will not be talking to that way. I think that could be considered a boundary, right? So my mind would go to, like, if I do the work, then I would question my mind. So is it, when is it valid to do a statement like that? You know, like, oh, don't talk to me that way. It doesn't work for me, right?
Yeah, when that's true for you, it's completely valid, and it really supports the other person to understand how to be in relationship with you. So it's a win-win.
Okay. Thanks for that.
The word freedom doesn't mean stupid. Freedom doesn't mean, you know, I don't want to hurt another person's feeling. Doing the work, we come out with a kind of honesty that people may not understand, but for our part, there's a language that goes with being in the world. And Omero, what I was hearing from you, that's it.
Yeah, because people pleasing wouldn't be awareness, right? It would just be another form of seeking approval. Mm-hmm. So it would not be honest for them and for me, right? So I guess that's the moment where one sets an honest boundary, when it's a yes for me, and it's also an act for love for them, yeah. From me to them. Yeah.
And then there are those people that when your communication is so clear on, they don't want to be with you. You know, you're obviously no fun. You know, or you're obviously just can't take it. You know, what they think about you is their property, and you living your truth is yours. And yeah, I just find it, what you said, just so loving and so clear. No one has to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Stop taking advantage of you as though it were a humorous thing. For them, that doesn't mean the people in their life see it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
My goodness. Katie, thank you so much for this time. We're so honored. And yeah. Before we finish, Tessie has this dynamic in her podcast where she kind of like takes, you know, one phrase and then shares it as, you know, for everyone to get awareness from that. And we did that with some of your phrases, with your quotes. So we would like to take one out just to get your thoughts on this phrase, if you're willing to play around with this.
Sure.
So this is El Frasco de Tessie, which means the jar of Tessie. So it has 365 messages. But we did the magic bag of Katie, which is this with your quote.
God.
So we can share a quote from you to all the people that has been here with us.
Okay.
But before I do this, I want to thank you to all your team, Patrick, Kit, Nancy, Steven. We're really, really grateful with them for helping us to make this happen. So thank you, Katie.
And the same to those dears, and to you two too. Mm-hmm. From where I sit, I'm so grateful.
No,
Thank
we
you,
love
Kate.
you. It's a privilege to call you my teacher. So
Oh.
let's see.
And our friend, you live as a friend in our minds for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I love that so much. If we can love one human being, we can love all human beings.
Oh, yes.
I love this one. And it says, arguing with reality is like trying to teach a cat to bark.
Okay, and
I
the first
love it.
again,
Sorry.
argue with reality is like teaching. Read it again.
It's like trying to teach a cat to bark. It's
Yeah.
hopeless.
Yeah. So what the reason I put that out there is reality is what it is. It's immovable. It's immovable. And to make friends with that is to identify what I'm thinking and believing about that object, whether it's a human being or a tree or a sky, to notice what I am thinking and believing about it and question it until it is a match to love.
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing in the world that isn't here to serve me. And each of us individually can say the same when we wake up to it. All the suffering in the world is what saved, in my world, is what saved me. It pushed me to self-inquiry. It pushed me through. And pain isn't necessary for us to get free. That's what I love about self-inquiry. Yeah, but I don't argue with reality. I take life as it comes to me. And if I can't see that it's for me and something to grow me, then this brain needs a little work.
Yeah, thanks for serve us with the work.
No, thank you.
Thank you,
You're
Katie.
such a friend to the world, Katie.
Yeah.
That not arguing with reality is just like being yes to life all the time. You know, just yes,
It is.
yes, yes.
Sometimes our honest no is a yes to
Yes, yeah.
ourselves, as you
Totally.
demonstrated earlier.
Yes,
It's
to be
yes
free.
and no are equal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for all the people that are listening to us, remember that the work is free. You can find it at Katie's website. And something that I really love that you always said, it's like the work is free, and remember that no one has to do this exercise.
Yeah. Free. No one has to do this exercise.
I love you, Katie. Thank you
Oh,
so
honey.
much. Thank you.
Love
It's
you,
been an
Katie.
honor, a privilege to
Oh,
host
you
you, to
too.
learn from you.
Well, thank you for touching all the people in this world I couldn't begin to touch. So you live in me, and my life is better for it, and the lives of countless others. I'm so grateful. And
Thank you.
thank you
Thank you,
both
Katie.
for the invitation to join you and your community.
See you soon at school. Thank you for.
Oh, good.
Yeah, see you soon at school.
Love you,
And
Katie.
thank you for your time, for your life, and for the
Love
story that brought you here to change the world. Thank
you.
you. Thank you.
And honey, thank you for your love. It is the power that moves me. I'm very grateful.
Thank you. Yours
Thank
is
you,
mine.
Katie.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
And
Katie. See you soon.
visítame en tu cabeza es la belleza.com.